Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey, everybody, this is BT, and welcome to Inside the Episode. Today, David and I are going inside episode 91, which was titled Book Study, 12 Rules for Life, An Antidote to Chaos, Part 2. So, David, how are you doing after this mind-blowing episode?
I'm doing really well. I mean, it's a little bit of a challenge to decide what to pick out of this and where to go, because there's a million different places to go. Every chapter is really packed with a lot of information that he's using to explain the points that he wants to get across. So, you know, having said that, it's not like the average book that you would read. You can tell that he's put a tremendous amount of study into this book. And every word is, you can see when authors do this. Every single word, it has a purpose. It's not just fill. Like, he's not just filling these pages with a bunch of psychobabble bullshit, you know, to show how intelligent he is or whatever. I mean, the guy's extraordinarily intelligent and very well thought and read. And you can see that he's put many, many years into thinking these principles through and then trying to find a way to explain it to the public the best that he can, so that they have a good comprehension of not just the idea, but I like that he goes back into, where do these ideas come from? It seems to be something that he thinks about quite a bit.
Yeah, for sure. You dove right in and you dropped an excerpt right out of the gate in this episode. And I'm paraphrasing here, but it was basically around an awakening that occurs in a person's life. And you brought in the fact that that awakening includes both the extreme dark and the extreme good. And you did mention that the middle there is where things get a little bit fuzzy. Can you explain a little bit more about this awakening as it relates to Peterson's work?
Yeah, well, one of the things that I found very interesting about him was that he dives right into the fact that human beings can be evil as fuck. Like he said, you know, we really don't understand ourselves till we understand that both we have the Christ and the Hitler, you know, living within ourselves. And in other words, the potential of both of those things, because that's within each human being. I had always made one of the things that when I started studying was that I was fascinated by why bad people did the things that they did. And I'm still fascinated by it. But what I found that was interesting was that as I was studying that way, it made the middle, where a person is, they're not really good, but they're not really bad. They're just kind of living mediocre in their life, much more clear from an understanding perspective of what was motivating them to be that person or do that behavior. And I think Peterson does the same thing in his work. He's bringing out, here are the extremes, and then where are we in the middle of those extremes, and how do we navigate that in our life? But we can't do it blindly, because if we do it blindly, we set ourselves up in very, very dangerous positions. He has this, I heard him talking, and I believe it was in a lecture, so I can't remember exactly what the resource was, but I had never heard anybody put it this way before, and it really made me stop and think. He said, most people say, what the hell created a person like Hitler? He's like, wrong question. He said, we should be asking, what the hell happened that had such an advanced civilization of people? Because in the 1930s, the Germans were the most civilized and advanced group of people on the planet at that time, educationally, I mean, in every way. What would cause them to follow through with someone like Hitler? And if you really think about it, one person being crazy is one thing, right? Like we all kind of accept that somebody could be off their rocker a bit. But how does that one person turn an entirely educated nation of individuals into just monsters? Like, that's the question. So when you start to think about Yeah, everybody has to have that potential for that darkness in them in order to do that, right? So what would cause something like that? And those are some of the questions that he asks and attempts to answer.
Yeah, and that's probably not a very popular way of looking at things, to think that living inside of you is the potential to do great things, but also potential to do completely awful things. It's probably a lot of effort to stay in the middle as well. I'm thinking about people that, you know, don't fully make a decision to step into their light, to put themselves out there, to grow their business. They're constantly staying in the same place. It's almost like your purpose is trying to get you to go forward, and you just are fighting it every step of the way, turning down opportunities, getting, you know, tired. And that's what brings me to my next piece. You know, the Emerson quote you shared, you know, do the thing and you'll get the energy to do the thing. That's just such a great quote. How can we use that to our advantage in this otherwise hectic world?
Somebody taught me one time that when we're struggling with something, stop struggling and make a decision. And the point to this was that you're not, there's certain things you're just not going to know until you make a decision to do it. If you find that you've made the wrong decision, then obviously you go back and you change that. One of the questions or the thoughts that somebody had is like, how am I going to pull that off? I'm tired already. How do I stay, like, if they're going to start a business or something, like, how do I stay motivated to do that every single day, every day, every day, every day, every day, right? When they can't be motivated to cut their own lawn or make their bed or do the dishes or whatever. And by the way, Peterson addresses that, you know, in the book, a little bit later on in the book, is like, get your house in order first. But if we're asking ourselves, where am I going to get the motivation, the energy, the discipline, all of that, it's the wrong question because it can't be answered.
Right.
There's no answer. I mean, we don't know where it comes from. But what we do know and what he's explaining is that both psychologically and physically, it has an effect on us when we make a decision to do something and actually step into it voluntarily, which is the point that he made.
Yeah,
and it's
absolutely true.
I mean, well, you know, I mean, you've been running forever now.
Yeah, right.
And every day you find it.
It's there.
But it's not always there before you do it.
Exactly. Once you get out there and start doing it, then you get the energy to continue to do it. Makes total sense. And we see this a lot with people we work with and people we come into contact with at our events. They struggle with that, making the decision. And this, let's be honest, business is, you know, it's hard work. Like, you don't just sit around and people come and knock on your door. I see a lot of people, you know, in the corporate world transitioning into a different business sort of model, entrepreneurial, whatever you want to call it. And they struggle mightily with it because they realize that, okay, I put up the sign, people are going to start knocking down my door for business. And that's not how it works. You got to bust your ass. It is a, you know, 7 day a week, 365 day a year. You're not actually in a physical space, but you're working all the time. That doesn't mean you can't have fun, but your mind is always on growing and becoming better. And I think that's what I'm pulling out of the Peterson work, is that that very thought. Now, let's look at your life in particular and the decisions you made or you didn't make. And you asked yourself, how the hell do I get out of here? And through that question, you altered your destiny. I would like you to take our listeners back to that moment when that question came up and how you were able to recognize that you yourself were the problem. That's tough.
Well, so it's a really good question because it kind of ties into your last one. So I was in the back of a trailer. I had been reprimanded several times that week. And I think if I remember correctly, this was already Tuesday. So that would have been once on Monday, once on Tuesday. And like, I got hit with it as soon as I walked in the door on Tuesday. I'll never forget it. And it ended up in a screaming match between me and my boss. And I was exhausted. I was just burnt the hell out. I was physically tired. It was spilling over into my personal life. And the rest of the day was not going well. Like, it was one mistake after another. I was angry. I didn't know what to do with my aggression. And like I said, I was tired. And I was in the back of this trailer, and I just had a breakdown and just started crying because I didn't know how to change the situation that I was in. And this voice in my head basically just said to me, David, change your attitude. Now, I still didn't know at that point that I was the problem. It wasn't until after I saw that I this change that I made, the three things that I've talked about forever. Sure. You know, I love what you do, do the best that you can, treat everybody with respect. When I changed those things and I saw how fast my life changed, like in a month, and it wasn't an insignificant change. It was profound. Like my income tripled in a month. And when I did that and I saw what happened, I realized I don't know how I'm causing this, but I'm causing it. Now, I should say I knew a little bit because I realized that I had made poor decisions, and that's what led me up to the problem. But I really didn't know how I was making those decisions or how they were affecting me in the long term. I really did not have the ability to think about long-term consequences of a short-term decision at the time. That took time for me to experience how to do that, but that's what happened.
Yeah, that's perfect. And you found a way to create order amongst the chaos, which is repeatedly brought up in Peterson's work. That chaos, in the episode, you talked about how it seems to come with it a negative connotation to it. When we think of the word chaos, at least for me personally, I think of something very, very destructive, right? Well, let's apply the law of polarity to this. There has to be positives in chaos, which you did speak about in the episode. Can you break that down for us just a little bit in what you referred to as knowledgeable chaos?
Yeah, so if you think about the alphabet, and if you jumble all the letters up and you were to just throw them up and they were hanging in the air without any particular order to them, there's 26 letters in the alphabet. And based on how we rearrange those letters and the orders that we put them in, not only do those letters then give things meaning, which tells us what to do with the thing, but there's no end to the amount of words that can be created with those 26 letters. And sentences and paragraphs and books and everything is once it's put into order, we're taking those letters and doing it. So that's knowledge. And the knowledge is out there for everything. So the way to do something is already here, but it's in a state of chaos. Now, it's interesting because Peterson talks about this in the book also. In the psychological and the spiritual, order or chaos is referred to as the feminine, and order is the masculine. It's the yin and yang. And we have to be really careful, especially today, because it does not mean man and woman. It means feminine and masculine. So it's all of the traits of the feminine and all of the traits of the masculine that allow this to actually work. Remember, the feminine is the vessel. It is the birth of something. It is where the potential lies, you know, right? So there's all of the potential, everything that we're going to do in life, or everything that has been done, is within this chaotic state in the universe. And only as we think do we actually move all of that knowledge into some kind of order. And then he talks about, well, then we got to really consider, are we going to do something good with it, or are we going to do something bad with it? And this is the human struggle. If you think about it, like with a kid, right? If you've raised children, right. I've raised children. Yeah. You take a little child and they're 2-3 years old, they're in a damn state of chaos half the, you know, 90% of the day. You know, they're screaming about their toy, and what we do in giving them direction and discipline is help bring order to their life and the way that they need to behave in order to be productive and not walk around hitting people and biting people and screaming, so that they learn how to socialize between the ages of 2 and 4 and be, you know, hopefully be productive members of society at some point in time.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know what else to say. I mean, that the alphabet analogy alone, I'm sitting over here thinking about how these letters were formed to create words, and words can both harm and heal. They can create propaganda that you read and you believe, when even if it isn't true. Like, the chaos that lives around us, I think it's something we can embrace, because like you said, all the potential lives within the chaos. I mean, I don't know what else to say about that.
That's it.
It's freaking unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, that's going to do it for this Inside the Episode. I don't know what else to say other than that we're going to come back and do more of these. David, you've got several more in the series. We're excited to hit them. Can't wait to see what comes next from this amazing book.
Take care, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.